We are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. We're blessed because many of us have chosen to follow the Lord regardless of circumstances, regardless of what our family has said. Some of you have come tonight without your spouses. Some of you tonight have come without your children, come without your parents maybe. And God has chosen to bless you because you've chosen to serve Him. I'm thankful I know Him, and I'm more thankful He knows me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Even before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And sanctified thee to be a prophet among the nations. I'm thankful long before September 13th, 1975, God knew that I was going to be born. And He had a perfect plan for my life. I've strayed away from that plan, but I'm 100% sure tonight. Woo. Smack dab in the center of it tonight. That's all I got to tell you. Amen. And I'm going to stay right in the center of it. Because I've found, regardless of financial situation, regardless of disease, regardless of anything going on in your life, if you're in the center of His will, you are blessed and you are happy. Amen. I believe I can say what Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just like Kevin taught us Thursday night at Elbrook. He said you can have joy. Happiness. Happiness is defined by happenings. But joy is defined because of the Spirit. And thank God when you worship Him, regardless of how happy you feel, you can still have joy. Thank God. And aren't you glad Wanda and Betty came our way? Amen. Rosie too. Amen. All of them. Praise the Lord. And Betty. Praise the Lord. Anybody else want to join in? Hallelujah. And Tom. Glory. Help yourself, sister. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Has it been good to you? Hey, I'm telling you, you ain't in hell, are you? You ain't in hell? Hey, you're breathing? None of you are starving to death, I can tell that. God's been good to us. And regardless of physical circumstances, He's been good because we have a hope today that nobody else has, that we're going to go to heaven. Hallelujah! Thank God. Amen. I like this. See, I'm used to this tonight. Don't be scared. This is good stuff. All you young people need to see this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right, Wanda. Thank the Lord. I know it's a little bit out of the ordinary, but I say let's give Jesus a hand tonight for what He's done. Has He been good to you tonight? Has He been good to you? Let's stand on our feet and praise God. He's worthy of our praise. you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be seated if you want to. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Underneath that piano, barely got in there, but I got in there. I was praying for him, and man, I tell you, I felt something. I felt something break loose from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Oh, I just took me back. I looked up, and Darren and his wife were crying, and I believe they got victory this morning. And me and Brian Davis, we were talking today, praying over here with Tara, and she got up off the altar, and her face was aglow. And he said, "I never get over that face." That look, it's the glory of God is what it is. When Jesus comes into your life and He performs miracles, I'm telling you, the burdens are lifted and you have a brand new look about you. I'm thankful today that we can still have the glory and still get it. God has it available. All you have to do is accept it in your life. Well, I wasn't going this way, but I guess I'll go this way. Moses was in a critical point in his life. He was on the mountain, disappointed, discouraged. Some of y'all heard this last week if you were at Elbrook. But he said this. He said, "I beseech thee." That means he's begging him. Show me thy glory. And see, I took that as my verse for every year. I take a verse. And this is my verse for this year. Above all, anything that I want this year, as I want to see the glory of God. And I beg the Lord to show me thy glory. And that should be our prayer. Because when you see the glory, nothing else matters. Hallelujah. And so here he is. He "Show me thy glory." And God said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cliff of a rock, and will cover thee with mine hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Moses was at a critical point in his life. A lot of things had led him up to this point, and he was a broken man. We see here the cry of a broken man. He was at the valley of discouragement. And I'm telling you, I don't care if you're Moses or Elijah, there's going to be a time when you're going to have a juniper tree experience, when you get down on yourself and you have a little bit of pity party. And And sometimes we get discouraged. But I feel there were three things that led Moses to this valley of discouragement. There was the difficulty of the path. See, how would you like to spend 40 years in a wilderness and fighting after snakes, and not to mention the millions of people that he had to look after? But the journey was difficult. He had to, almost every day they had to pray for food and water. And it was a difficult journey. And I'm skipping a lot because I want to get to the good part. But if I want you to notice this. When you're a child of God, the path is difficult. God did not promise us that it would be a bed of roses. In fact, He promised us that you will have trials. You will have circumstances out of your control. But He told His disciples, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. But He also said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's a promise we have. Yes, we will have a difficult path, but He'll be with us every step of the way. And I believe the disobedience of the people led into this valley of discouragement. I mean, come on. I mean, God had performed miracle after miracle after miracle. He was on top of the mountain receiving the law from the hand of God. He comes down off the mountain and He sees them. Now, they had done been gone from Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. And they had taken all their jewelry and fashioned the golden calf out of it. And they were worshiping. They were dancing naked in front of this idol. And Moses comes down off the mountain. He sees this. And now don't get all holy on me, because Moses got in the flesh. He got mad. He threw the tablets down and broke them. He was angry. They were disobedient. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I put my trust and faith in man. And it's let me down. In fact, I'll be honest with you, just about every time I put my trust and confidence in man, they've let me down. Somewhere along the way. And I just want to say this right here. We spent too much time putting our trust and faith in men and movements instead of the message of Jesus Christ. And I want to prove it to you. We have... And I'm just not saying this about Southern gospel music or ministries anyway, but you'll have people today that, oh man, I can't believe it. I went to this concert and I saw them all hooping and hollering. And some of you don't think the Spirit comes unless somebody kicks their shoes off. And all we've got today is really, and I'll just bring it down to our level, a bunch of diesel sniffers. They're following buses instead of God. And when these big Southern gospel singers who put on their pants the same way I do, when they come walking in the door, they act like little schoolgirls with a crush. Oh, there they are. And they'll follow them hours and hours away. And there ain't a thimble full of the power of God in it. You want to know why? Because if, you know what? If God would come down tonight and wipe out all the adulterers, wipe out all the alcoholics, there'd be half of the Southern gospel singers left. Some of you don't like this, but that's okay. It's the truth. And it makes me sick. Because we get in here under the power of God and there's preaching, you just sit there, well, they didn't sing my favorite song. Who are you worshiping anyway? The songwriter did not say to God, to Cal Ray, be the glory, great things He hath done. And I appreciate our pastor. He's the best in this world. We all could say that. But I'm telling you, He don't bring revival. It didn't say to Brian Baer, be the glory either. It also didn't say to Michael Combs, to Gold City, to Greater Vision, to the Palmetto State Quartet, to the Crab Family. Oh, it also didn't say to Charles Stanley, to Billy Graham. It goes, we can go on and on and on. But it says to God be the glory, great things He has done. And I'm telling you, if you want to see the glory, you got to worship God. How to get that off my chest? That's been bothering me. And then... the disappointment in himself. Following all these, leading all these people. Putting yourself in his position. If you were a position of leadership and you felt like you had everything so-called under control, and they went back on God, what you tried to teach them, it would be a little discouraging. Any good leader would take the responsibility. And I'm sure he got a little bit upset. and it led him into this valley. So here he is. He's at a place. He gets away again. This time, he has a follower, Joshua. He only gets up to about halfway up. And while he's up there, he begs him. He said, "Lord, I can't stand any longer. I beg you. I beg you. Show me thy glory." You ever had somebody that needed some car work done? And they'll come up to you and say, "Hey, I need a good mechanic." And they'll say, "I know just the place." Or you want to take someone out for dinner and you want a good eating establishment. You ask one of your co-workers and they'll say, "Yeah, I know just the place." And Moses asked God, he said, "God, I'm tired. I'm discouraged. I want to see your glory." And God said, "I know just the place. It's right beside me. Right beside me." My dad says this all the time, and it's good theology, even though it's simple. It says, if you want to get closer to God, just walk closer. Now, I know that takes you to figure out what that means, but you know what it means. You know how to get closer to God. And aren't you thankful tonight that God has roped off certain sections, certain places in our lives where the devil cannot enter in? Three places. First of all, the place of redemption. The Bible says when they came to this place, which is called Calvary. A place. Aren't you thankful tonight that the devil cannot take away that place of redemption where you found Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, I still remember the day. I've told you this many, many times. September the 6th, 1981. When I came as a 5-year-old boy, sitting right where Tom Martin is at Northmoreland Christian Baptist Church, on the second verse, "As just as I am," I stepped out and met Jesus as my personal Savior. That's the place of redemption for me. That's the place where I knelt in front of Calvary and asked God to come into my life and save me. And you know what? He exactly did what I asked Him to do. And I had the privilege of going there the other day, and I was preaching at Northmoreland a few weeks ago. And before I preached, we was having a good service, kind of like we are tonight. And I had to stop before I preached, and I went down in front of the altar, and I knelt down at the spot, and I just ran the nail in it again. I said, "Take that, old devil. I'm telling you what, there'll be times in my life when I get down and discouraged, but all I have to do is go back to the place which is called Calvary, and the devil cannot stick around." Folks, aren't you glad tonight that there is a place, and I know just the place, and it's the place of redemption where you found Jesus Christ? Glory to God. Amen. Amen. He said, this place of redemption, He said, "I'm going to stand you on a rock." That was that place of redemption. Then notice, secondly, the place of restoration. This place of restoration, the place of redemption came when He stood him on a rock. And the place of redemption came when He said, "I will put thee in the cleft of the rock." Restoration. No wonder Jacob said after he wrestled with the angel, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place." You know, David had a 911 call, didn't you? It's Psalm 91. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." My, my, my. The place of restoration that's in the cliff of the rock. You know what's so great about the cliff of a rock? When you're inside it, if you fall back, you hit a rock. If you fall down, you'll land on a rock. If you jump up, you'll hit a rock. If you turn to the left, you'll hit a rock. If you turn to the right, you'll hit a rock. The only place that you can get out of the cliff of the rock is to fall forward. And God said, "I'm going to take care of that too. I'm going to put my hand over it." So no matter where Moses went, he was going to touch the rock. And if he fell face forward, he was going to land in the hand of Jesus. I'm telling you, what a place of restoration tonight. And I'm telling you, there's been times in my life, and you know what I'm talking about. There's been great services. We had a great service this morning. But there are special places in our lives where we can take the devil back to, whether it be in your prayer closet or your car or home or wherever it may be. It may be someplace unusual, but you know the place where God made you and you alone. There's nothing that can take the place of getting in the cleft of a rock. Amen. Place of restoration. And then this place of rest. See, this place of rest was this hand that covered the opening of the cliff of the rock. And what a place of protection. I believe we heard about it today. The hand. John was talking about it there this afternoon. Preached a great sermon this afternoon. But the hand of God is strong, it's secure, it's safe, it's sheltering. And what a place of rest. I don't know about you, but I get tired. You get tired? I do. I get tired of listening to the news and hearing some more bad news and more bad news. And then they break in to give you some more bad news. And we hear the coal mining accident and the terrible tragedy of that. And we hear the hundreds of prayer requests that come in weekly here at this church. And we get calls every day, emails every day from people all over the world that are hurting and they're tired. But I'm thankful there's a place of rest. Amen. Here on this earth. And it's in the hand. It's in the arms of Jesus. And I'm telling you there, the devil cannot get anywhere near you. John said it today, and I like what he said. He said, when you're in the hand of God, the only thing that can get in there is what God lets in there. That's a great point. That tells me that nothing can touch you that doesn't pass through Him first. That means He's got it in control. This perfect hand, this place of rest. But then we have a promise even after this life that there'll be an eternal place of rest. Because what did Jesus say in John chapter 14? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a for you. And if I go to prepare a, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. So you say you're hurting. You say you're discouraged. And you need to see the glory of God. I know just the place. It's right beside Him. He said, before you see the glory though, Moses, my goodness is going to pass. And you know, sometimes we just need to be reminded how good God is to us before we can see the glory. And He said, now you can't look on me. You can't look on me. But I'm going to let you, I'm going to walk by you. And then when I walk by, I'm going to remove my hand and I'm going to let you get a glimpse. Just a little glimpse. And you're going to get to see my back parts. Now, don't read that to what it says. Because God is light, right? The Bible says that. God is light. And the glory of God is expressed many times through Scripture as a radiant beam of light. If you study light rays, when a beam of light shines, you all seen a falling star, haven't you? You know, you're really not seeing the star itself. You're seeing the back parts. They actually call that the afterglow. And so when God walked by and removed His hand, and what Moses saw was the afterglow. He saw the afterglow of God. You say, well, what's that? What's that got to do with anything? That ain't very much, is it? I beg your pardon. When He came off the mountain, He was lit up. They couldn't even look on Him. Starting to feel some of that afterglow right now, I'll be honest with you. That would be a great testimony. Not that I'm anything, but wouldn't it be a great testimony that if you're walking down the street one day or walking into Walmart, people look at you. They can't hardly look at you because the glow of God is all around you. Wouldn't that be a great testimony? You say, well, that's in the Old Testament. That can't happen. That's hogwash. You're too passive. God will give you as much glory as you want to have. But you got to get rid of yourself. You got to get rid of pride. You got to get rid of selfishness. You got to get rid of your sin. And not, God will not put His glory where sin is. So do you want it? Is that your prayer? Do you want to see the glory? Do you want to have the glory? I know just the place. He said, Moses, I know just the place. But you got to come by me. And how do you get beside God? Well, the Word, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was with God. And we know He was talking about Jesus Christ because it goes on to say in that John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I am holding in my hand the closest thing to deity that anybody can have. It's right here. This is God. It's not just the Word of God. It is God. And if you want to get by Him, you got to get in here. You got to get on your knees and pray. And you can't forsake the fellowship of the brethren. You got to come to church. I know it's simple philosophy and we cram it down your throats, but hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You show me somebody that's got the glory and I guarantee they come to church, they read the Bible and they pray every day. You just got to want to hard enough. You just got to want the glory. I want it. I want God to show me. I want God to reveal things to me that He's never revealed things to me before. But I it ain't going to happen if I just sit in a recliner and do nothing. I got to be able to work myself. And God will show it to me. Get yourself out of the way and say, God, fill me. Fill me. I'm thankful tonight that He's passed by our way. We haven't seen Him face to face, but one day we will. And we'll get to see Him in power and glory.